Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, maybe even good night. This special edition of the Ignite Press livecast and podcast is a truly multinational affair because we have people who are tuning in from really all around the world. We probably have 10 or 12 different time zones represented today with this because our authors today are a very special pair of gentlemen. One a professional airline pilot, and the other one a professional speaker and business coach. And I'm so excited to bring on our guests today. And they are Octavian Pantish and Captain Emil Dobrovolsky. And I'm just so excited to have you guys on today so we can talk about your book, Dark Cockpit. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Everett. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for the invitation.
So let's see, where are you guys today? Where did we catch you?
Bucharest, Romania, Eastern Europe.
All right. And Emil?
Bucharest. I just came back from Paris. I had the flight in the morning, so I'm back home. Excited to be here.
I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. And if I remember correctly, we were talking earlier today about some of the people that you know that are supporting your book launch in Malaysia and Serbia and what other countries? Well, India,
India, US. Germany, India, Germany, UK, Canada, France, Portugal, Spain, and obviously the United States and a few other countries. Yeah.
Wow. Now, by the way, if you are watching this live cast on YouTube or Facebook, and if you're watching it live, please say hello and where you're from. And if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to pass along, I will do my best to bring them in to our live cast, into our show today. We are excited about this. So let's get into this. Octavian, tell us, how did this book come about? Now, we're going to talk about what a dark cockpit is in a second, but I'm going to go to Captain Dobrovolsky for that one. But tell us, how did the idea for this book come about?
I met Emil about 10 years ago through a colleague of ours. I knew he had a friend who was a captain, and we met. The chemistry was good, and we invited Emil to speak several times to us as a team in our consulting company. And we were very inspired by the stories he was sharing and by the learnings that we could take for ourselves from the principles of aviation, from what's going on in the cockpit, and from how they communicate and from how they lead and so on. And then we had customer requests for a speaker on leadership, on a not a traditional corporate leadership, but someone from outside that. So we asked Emil if he'd like to do that, and he said yes. And I attended a number of those sessions together with him. And every time I was there, I could see people being inspired by the stories, and I could see value that they were taking and they were applying back in their lives as a project manager or entrepreneur or director or just as professional. And then we realized, hey, there is a treasure of know-how in that cockpit, in aviation, in what pilots do. And we said, hey, it would be a pity for that treasure to just stay available for the captains and co-pilots and flight crew only. So about 2 years ago, I said to Emil, hey, you definitely should write a book, a leadership book about lessons from aviation directed at people who are not piloting planes, but who are piloting a project, a team, a non-government organization, a family, or things like that. And he said, well, that sounds good, but if I were to do it, why don't we do it together? So that's how the book came about. We wrote initially the original version in Romanian. We're both Romanian, and we it sold very well. We launched that at the end of 2019, early 2020. We had the before COVID campaigns and tours, and we were visiting companies and different cities, and people were very inspired by the book. And the book was bought by managers. The book was bought by HR people for their staff, by managers for their staff, by parents for their teenage kids, by kids for their parents as gift for Valentine, maybe not for Valentine's Day really, but for different other occasions. So everybody finds some lessons in that. And given the feedback that we got, we said, hey, this has to be taken internationally because aviation is a global industry. Everybody's flying. Well, not that much with the pandemic, but everybody who's flown has at least at some point been amazed at all the things that have to go right in order for a plane to take off here and land there together with other 20,000 planes who can be up in the air at a given moment. So we're happy to be at the moment today where we make the book available to our global audience. In English for the moment, and several other languages are coming. And we thank all our buyers who bought the book today from all those countries we mentioned, and also to our buyers from Romania. We had quite a few Romanian friends who said, hey, I want to get a copy of the English version for me, just to have it in my collection there. So we're glad to be able to share with the readers a number of lessons from aviation that can inspire each and every one of us to be even better and what we're doing.
Now, this is terrific. And by the way, I would be remiss not to let people know that, yes, this is a special international launch of the English edition of the book. And we're just grateful that we have it available now in English. It is available today. People can pick it up on Amazon in Kindle or paperback version. In the US, it's 99 cents, but that pricing has been carried across the world. So that you can get the Kindle at a very affordable price today. Certainly encourage you to pick up that Kindle version as that's part of this launch strategy. But of course, the paperback is also available in most markets as well. So please pick up your copy. All right, Captain Dobrovolsky, let's go to you. Tell us, what is a dark cockpit? And what does this mean for us? Tell us what it means in aviation and tell us how we can apply that in our businesses and in our lives.
Thank you for the question. I was thinking about how to present myself today. And normally I present myself as a captain, as an instructor, or as an examiner. But today I was wondering if I can present myself as a storyteller. I'm telling stories to my pilots for the last 20 years, telling them about how and helping them enhance their knowledge, helping them to improve their skills, and helping them to do most of their efforts to improve their non-technical skills. So, to come back to your question, dark cockpit is an aviation term. It means that in the cockpit, everything is lit only by their own lights. There's no warnings, there's no caution lights. So if you have a dark cockpit, means that everything goes smoothly. Immediately, as you have a caution, there'll be an amber light on your overhead panel or somewhere in the cockpit, so you notice it immediately. A caution light means that you have not to intervene immediately, but it's a caution, so you have to take care about it sooner or later. This is one scenario, but if you have two caution lights, they need the pilot's attention immediately. Also, there's a red light, which is the warning light with a continuous repetitive chime, which goes like bing, 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 and doesn't let you think. So you have to stop the sound and then to take care about it immediately. In the entire book, we are doing bridges between aviation and this kind of caution and warnings or other kind of lights, like white lights, which is written off in it. So you have a system deliberately put off. It's like in your real life when you have a partner, which is, I don't know, an off position maybe, or maybe in your business, you have some caution, you have to take care about it. And just looking at your cockpit layout, you know immediately that something goes wrong, and can be also a blue light, which means that it's something deliberately on, like a de-icing the aircraft, which on business means, or in your personal life, means that you have something, you have a deadline and you work overtime. But if you do this, if you have too many lights in your cockpit, this consumes you and your performance is dropping. So dark cockpit is it's by nature, the moment you do everything smoothly, when everything goes normal and it's not given by somebody, it's obtained through hard work. So if you follow the entire procedures, if you follow the SOP, if you have a good knowledge and you have a good skill, you'll be in dark cockpit.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking about that, and you're talking about even the blue lights can be bad in the sense of if there's a process going on, you need to give that some attention because you at some point you need to turn that process off or manage that process. If you have too many processes going on all at the same time that require even some small level of your attention, then it is ultimately a distraction and sounds like makes your job harder. I like that idea. So as a private pilot myself, I understand a dark cockpit, that I don't want a bunch of enunciator lights, as we call them, drawing my attention and all of that. So I appreciate that. But of course, my cockpit's a lot more simple than yours. Quite a few fewer lights.
If you imagine your personal life, or your as a professional, maybe you have also a cockpit to manage. So the opposite of a dark cockpit is, as we said, is the Christmas cockpit. And too many people, too many professionals that are used to fly in a Christmas cockpit with lights all over the place, with things to handle quickly on the last moment. And this, of course, this will drop the performance of the flight, the performance of the business. This will affect you personally at the end.
Well, I think we all have cockpits both physically and figuratively, yeah. Right? My cockpit is around me. It's my office. It's my desk. It's what do I have here that's grabbing my attention? And don't look at how messy mine is.
It looks fine. We like the Cavalier back there.
Oh, good. You've got my my knight in the background there. So Emil or Octavian, let's come to you. You don't have to be an aviation geek to get into this book. In fact, that's the whole reason you wrote this book.
Yeah.
Was to bring lessons from the cockpit to the business world and to our personal lives without any specialized knowledge at all.
Exactly. So in a way, the book is a first of its kind because there are books that study aviation accidents, for instance, and they go into details, they present reports, and it's a 500-page book about the 10 worst accidents in history. That's a book which has lessons, but this is not like that. This is for the busy person. This is for the people who want to improve their life. They want to improve their performance in business as a leader, as a manager of a project or organization. And it's not a book that goes too deep in, I don't know, aviation accidents and what we can learn. It's not a book about stories from aviation. It's not a fiction book. It's not something that you just read to feel better in the or just to relax on a beach or in the weekend. On an armchair somewhere. It's a nonfiction book. It's a how-to book. So in each chapter, there are stories from aviation, except one where we talk about the worst disaster in aviation history, except that all of the other ones are from Emil's personal experience, and they're told very nice, and they're told with enough details to get you into the story, but not in too much detail to say, hey, I'm not an aviation geek, I don't really understand what's going on. No, just enough so that you can see the nuggets, see the gold, see the message for you and take it and apply it in your life. It's not meant to be a book for pilots. It's not, if you want to be a pilot, you've got other materials that you want to read, but it's meant to be a leadership book, a personal development book, a book if you want to become a better professional. And just one comment about the Dark Cockpit title, if I may. When we set off to write the book, we did not have the title initially. We said, hey, let's worry about that later. Let's make sure we put great content there that readers will appreciate, and the title will come to us. And that was true. We arrived at a short list of two possible book titles. One of them was Dark Cockpit, which was an expression we knew we were going to explain and discuss because there's a lot of value behind it. And the other possible title was This Is Your Captain Speaking, which is something that all of us have heard so many times. And when you hear this is your captain speaking, you know that it's something important from someone from authority. And we were kind of 50-50 with a slight preference for Dark Cockpit. This is your captain speaking is true also, but we did not want to sound arrogant in a way like, oh, dear reader, now sit down, take notes because your captain will tell you what to do. No, the book is not like that. The book does not preach to you. The book presents you data. The book presents you facts. The book presents you principles from aviation. Here's how we do it in aviation. Here's how it's done. Here's why. Here are the reasons for that. And then we build bridges into the life of our reader, into your life who are watching us now. And thank you for your attention, with the goal of making it as easy as possible for you to apply everything that we're discussing here. We shared the book title with some friends, and what do you think? And some of them said, oh, it's nice, it's intriguing. A few of them said, no, it sounds negative. And some said, we don't mind that it sounds a little negative because we know it's not. We want to have a title that attracts attention. And then we said we have to have a very, very clear subtitle. So the subtitle of the book is How to Communicate, Lead, and Be in Control at All Times, like an airline captain. So it tells what it's about. And it also talks about the three main parts of the book. The communication, which is done super, I wouldn't say perfectly, but it's done super nice in aviation, super effectively, because just imagine with so many planes, you really cannot afford a miscommunication that a plane understands something and lands or takes off or does not take off. You really don't want that. And we take learnings from, hey, what can you learn from there and apply in your own Zoom calls, meetings, emails you send, phone calls you have, or in-person meetings. The second part is about leading, and we call it Lead Responsibly. And the third part is about how can you be in control? Now, of course, I believe God is in control of everything, but there are certain things that you must do and you should be doing so that you do your part. And we talk about what those are, and we talk about what happened, what can you do to prevent a bad situation, what do you do in the middle of the bad situation. We talk about principles from aviation that are very, very useful to an entrepreneur or to a team manager everywhere. So these are the three parts. Each part has three chapters. Each chapter has stories, has principles, and the feedback we've got so far is that it's a good mix of stories, principles, and specific how-to suggestions.
Excellent. In fact, I want to go to Captain Dobrovolsky. Is there one of your favorite stories that you like to tell that's included in the book? Because if not, I'm going to find one for you. But is there one of your favorites that you enjoy telling?
No, I want to tell you the story. I never told it before. It's about how I wrote and we wrote together the last chapter of the book. Actually, it's a tribute to my stepmother because she was the person who supported me most to become a pilot. And it's a story about how your airplane flies. It's a story about the aerodynamical forces over an airplane. And they are brought to the ground to your personal forces driven you, which draws you in life. So it's a story about how I developed myself as a person and how I grew up as a professional pilot. And I let you the pleasure to read the last chapter. And the whole book was the way we wrote it. I wrote the story, first of all, I have to thank Octavian because he taught me how to look differently on the things I did all the time. Of course, as a professional pilot, I was at the beginning, I was just following the SOP. Then I understand the SOP. And now I know why the SOPs or why the professionals, they work in such a complex environment like professional pilots. They need to be trained to the purpose. They need to be, there's a high standard of professionalism required. So now I'm helping my company and other companies or organization to develop procedures. So these kind of things brought into the normal people's life with the help of Octavian, who helped me to see different angles of what I was doing as a professional pilot. So this is how the book came, and we ping-ponged, we exchanged the mails for each chapter until we consider it complete. So the book, as Octavian said, is not something to look down on somebody. It's just stories of my professional life, and then we examine them, the way we communicate in aviation and how, what's the know-how in that, because professional pilots are expert communicators. And of course, we talk about leadership, we talk about crisis situations. So the book at the end, the way it came, I was not satisfied, to be honest, but Octavian said, look, we have to leave it, because every time we talk about any chapter, I saw and he saw different things to change. But the end, we both agree that this is the best shape we came out with. So the book is now for you. We expect feedback from our readers.
I actually want to get to one of the specific things that you have both made allusions to, and that is communication. Communication in the sky is so completely different than communication on the ground, and with a level of precision and with a conciseness that just doesn't exist elsewhere. So if you would, either of you, let's talk about communication in the air and how that then can apply to us in our lives.
Yeah.
Okay, let me, Octavian, let me start, and then you take
please.
Over. Okay.
Please.
So, first of all, the professional pilots, they have the help of standard calls and the standard phraseology, of course. But this applies for such a small number of communication in aircraft, because both pilots are looking forward, are facing forward. They have headsets on their heads, and they don't see each other to validate the message. You have no body language, you have no mimics to validate the message. And then in the headsets, it's a continuous chit-chat. There's a noise, it's a noisy environment. The aircraft flies and there's a drag, and you can hear that on the aircraft skin. So in order to pass a message, you need to know some rules. And as I said, we have a standard phraseology and we have some standard calls, but they don't cover the entire spectrum of communication. And we found some examples, and those examples, they are matching perfectly with people which are not professional pilots. They are generic pilots. They are communicating within companies, where they are communicating with their students, or maybe with their family members or colleagues at work. So this applies everywhere. The rules of the communication are vital for the pilots, and that's why we have those rules. And we found examples which are easy to understand.
Go ahead, Octavian.
Yeah, two very specific suggestions as a continuation of what Emil just said. So what does it mean to us? What I was very happy to discover in aviation is, in terms of communication, well, several things, but two that I couldn't quickly share. Number one is, if you're not sure what the message is, ask them to say it again. In aviation, if the tower communicates something, you don't go, okay, we'll figure it out. No, if you're unsure, you say again. And the tower does not go, okay, why do you keep making me repeat? No, they repeat the message because they understand that there might be a need for the message to be repeated. And it's calm, it's assertive, it's adult-to-adult communication, it's neutral, it's no feelings there. Let's, by contrast, go into a meeting where the boss says, we need this project done to the very high standards. And we in a team go, okay, but this very high standards might mean different things to you or to me or to someone else who's not in the room, whom we then need to write an email to and explain that to. So whenever you're not sure what the other person says, ask them to repeat the message, ask them to give an example, ask them to say what they mean, because it's better to spend a few more minutes now than to get the project done at a level that you thought was high level, which it turns out was very different to what that manager thought was a high level, and that would be that would probably lead to serious discussions or counter arguments or meetings that could easily have been avoided if I had just asked for clarification. So number one, if you're unsure, ask for clarification, ask them to repeat the message, no worries. Number two, feedback. Even if it's clear to you, in aviation, you see the message is being repeated. If the captain says something, the co-pilot doesn't say, okay. No, the co-pilot repeats the message just to make sure that the whole bubble of communication is done. What does it mean in business? It could mean that I, as a leader, might want to delegate something to someone in my team. And we might have a Zoom call or a phone chat or whatever over 20 minutes about a certain project that I would like that person to do. And we talked about A and B and C. And at the end, the other person says, okay, I'll get it done. And I say, any questions? All clear? To which, of course, the other person will say, yes, I haven't met yet. The person says, excuse me, I'm not that smart. Could you repeat me? So what is the end result? The end result is that, again, the project might not end up to the best results. What is something that you can do as a manager? Ask them. Of course, you cannot ask them to repeat the message as if it was a poem, but you could say something like, okay, now, after our meeting, may I please ask you to summarize our call in an email back to me? Just maybe the main 5, 4, 5, 6 bullets. If you do that, then you'll see how much the other person has remembered from the discussion, what are the certain things that he or she may have left out, and you'll have something in writing. If you do this, but you write the email, you being the same person who spoke in the Zoom, you also write the email, that's not good because it's still one way. You still don't know what the other person has understood. So if you have a longer call, ask the other person to summarize the message back to you. So number one is the power of asking for clarifications, asking for the other person to say what they mean, to go in details, to make it clear for you what they want. And number two, even if you think everything's fine, just repeat the message as often as you can, especially there is something at stake that's valuable here. So there's so much that we all of us communicate every single day, but we could be so much better at it.
You bring up some really great points, and I think very few people have had a chance to listen to the radio chatter that happens on an airline, in a private plane, on any plane. And you know, one of those principles is the readback. So for those people who haven't been on a plane, when the tower says, you know, taxi down this runway and hold short, which means hold before you get to the takeoff point of this runway, stay off the runway until we tell you to, you're directed to read back that information. So they give you the call and then you repeat back to them each step of it so that the tower knows you really heard it. And that you're really likely to comply with that and not go putting your plane out on a runway where another plane is about to land.
Yeah.
And that readback is something that, I'll be honest with you, I have failed to employ in my business. So I'm really glad that you have mentioned that, because I really should be doing that with my team, which is to say, okay, great. I gave you that instruction. Tell me what you think that meant, right? Tell me what you're going to do with that information.
You notice, the pilots are focused on the results. You know, they are not looking back. They're not looking for excuses. They are looking forward to the future, and they are focused on the results. My mission is my project, is my product. My passengers are my clients. So the clients, they paid for the ticket. They expect me to fly them from one point to another in a safe environment, on time and comfortable. Isn't it? So professional pilots are focused to the results. That's why it's critical. All those small bits and pieces of communications to come out clear. That's why pilots are not trying to look back. Of course, they are flying with 850 kilometers per hour, so 450 miles per hour. There's no time to look for excuse. You cannot set the parking brake in the air, isn't it? to wait and to clarify what was said or done 20 miles or 100 miles ago.
What a great.
Yeah.
So you have a great lesson.
To solve things, to understand each other, to help each other. They work by themselves in a metallic tube with wings at 39,000 feet and have to solve it by themselves with the co-pilot or with the captain, with the cabin crew. Is the only way the product can come out well. So as a conclusion for this thing, the communication, the pilots are focused on results, and the results should be always the right one, you know.
I think it's excellent too, because that it brings up another point that you guys mentioned. That communication that is happening, it happens without animus. It happens. Yeah. It's look, I want you to go do this. Not, I'm really mad at you and I'm really ticked off at my wife and I want you to go do this, darn it. You know, it's none of that. It's okay. All that stuff has to get set aside. I'd like you to go accomplish this. Yeah. And Emil, your point about its results. We're not going to complain about we got 1%, you know, 1 or 2 degrees off course back there, and we're going to argue about that. It's no, we got to go land the plane at that proper destination and do it correctly. Like you said, it's results. We're going to deliver those results. And it doesn't serve us to really get all upset about some procedure we messed up a little bit back there, provided that we can get there and get past that. So I really appreciate that. Now I've got a couple of questions here that are coming in from our audience. So Kostin earlier, by the way, let me first share this, because he said earlier that he's looking forward to reading the English editions. But Emil has great lessons and leadership stories, while Octavian brings in excellent storytelling and practical advice. And then he asks this question, says, I really think this is also excellent reading for this period of challenging times. Could the authors mention 1 to 2 tools or pieces of advice from the book for these changing times?
I can go first if I may. One thing that I learned, I learned many things while writing the book and while researching the aviation in the last few years and everything. One of the things that I was very impressed with when Emil was sharing the stories about every pilot has to go into a simulator twice a year and they are trained and they're equipped or trained to handle specific situations where something goes wrong. There's no hydraulics, there's no engines, there's no whatever. So in that situation, what they're trained to do is focus on what works. So if not everything works smoothly, okay, that could happen. In fact, a few things could work really bad. I mean, there's no engine, for instance, or you cannot maneuver the plane. But still, some things work. You can still communicate. You can still glide the plane. Focus on what works. And I suppose that's a great message for us too in this pandemic. There are many things that are not right, right? The least of the problem is traveling. The biggest problem is that people are dying, right? And people are losing their lives and or have their lives threatened. And maybe then, yeah, we work from home. Some people are losing their jobs. So if not everything goes as planned, you have two choices. One is to worry about what's not working according to plan and complain or get mad or get stressed. The other one is, hey, some things still work, right? Maybe you're still healthy. Yeah, you're at home, but you're healthy. You can connect to people. You have a little more time. Focus on what works and build on that. Use that. Maybe use it more than you did in the past. And I think that's a powerful lesson for wherever on the planet we are today and whatever the vaccination situation is or COVID infection is. Hey, focus. Find out what's okay. Find out what's good. Find out what you still have and build on that. Use those strengths as a stepping stone to move forward.
Also, excellent advice, because I look back to, let's say, a year ago, and you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, and even for months after, there were people who were completely psychologically stressed and freaked out about what was going on in the world. And yet, in their personal lives, probably 95 to 99% of things were essentially unchanged. Maybe tweaked a little, you know, okay, yeah, you got to shop differently. You got to, you can't do the same things you might socially or whatever, but still you got up, you slept, you had a place to, you know, you could live. But if you're focusing on that which is broken, how can you even enjoy or take advantage of that which isn't? And so what a great lesson. It's almost like, you know, and Emil can speak to this. If you're flying a plane, and let's say it's a two engine plane and one of the engines goes out. Okay. All right. The plane's not going to just suddenly fall to the ground unless you spend so much time focusing on fixing that one broken engine that you forget to fly the plane.
Yeah.
Right. If you, you fly the plane first and then troubleshoot the problems, right, Captain?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes in the simulator, we are, I'm checking pilots for very complex and complicated situations, like, I don't know, maybe dual hydraulic failure. So it's such a long procedure. And for pilots to finish it properly, to check for landing configuration or for landing speed or for landing distance, they have to prepare the aircraft for about 35 minutes or so. We have a word that you have to land as soon as possible, not to crash as soon as possible. So you need time to prepare the landing. So sometimes they are so complicated and you have just a few flight controls to maneuver the aircraft. And every time the pilots, especially the beginners, are so concerned about the procedure itself, to how to apply, how to implement it, how to make the calculations. And this time you have to fly the aircraft. And I'm stopping the simulator. I told them every time, stop, just 1 second. So I'm lighting up the simulator room and I'm making a classroom. I said, look, I can agree with you. It's a complicated case, but let's check something. Can you maneuver the aircraft? And the maneuverability is there. You can turn, you can bank, you can pitch. The engines are working. You have pressurization. You can call for coffee maybe if you have time. So imagine looking at the things that are positive, looking, as I said, for the future, how to solve the situation, how to land safely and on the ground in a more suitable airport. So these kind of things, as a professional, they develop a skill which is not, you cannot read about it. You have to set layer of experience and flight time over it, because this is something which develop itself inside of you, the feeling that you have to finish it and to finish it properly and well. And in terms of resilience, of course, last year it was difficult for everybody. I was flying before in 2019, I was flying like maybe 20, 22 flights a month. Now I was flying four, and most of it were the humanitarian flights I volunteered for. So imagine me, the examiner, the test pilot, sitting on a chair looking at the empty sky, no airplanes on the sky. So I find my inner resources to improve my knowledge. I read a lot. I went to the simulators. So in order, because I knew when the airplane will fly again, when the industry will start again, they will need trained pilots. So I try to inspire this kind of thinking to my fellow pilots.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you, our time is flying by here. And I want to once again make sure to tell people they can go get the book today on Amazon. If you are watching this live or watching this on the day of its launch, then you can pick up that Kindle version for 99 cents or its equivalent throughout the world. Recommend you do that. Octavian and Emil, I am grateful that you guys have taken the time to take these lessons from the cockpit and provide them to us in our business world. I honestly, just in this short time, you've reminded me of things. So I'm like, oh, I need to be employing that. I need to think that way. And I am grateful for that. So I'm going to come back to each of you one more time. And is there any final lesson or thing that you'd like to share before we sign off of our live cast today?
What I would say is that each of us has a plane to fly. right? It might not be a physical plane, but it's your team's plane, it's your career, it's your job, it's your organization. And aviation has a treasure of know-how. Whenever you look into a cockpit, you see all those buttons, and they might look complex, but there's a lot of know-how in that. And with this book, you can take that know-how and apply it in your life. There's so many lessons. And it's up to each and every one of us to improve one step at a time, a little something here, a little something there. We discussed a number of things today, and thank you, Everett, for the great feedback about how this valuable discussion was. And we barely scratched the surface of what you'll find in the book. So we encourage you to get the book, and please tell us what you thought of the book. You'll find ways there to get in touch with us on the page of the book and through Facebook, LinkedIn, all these ways. We really look forward to hearing from you about what you thought about the book and what you applied.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And Captain, any final words for you?
I wish, or I hope, for our readers to find ways to improve their flight. And I wish them to fly in dark cockpit, to know how to obtain their dark cockpit every day of their lives, in the personal lives or in the professional lives. Because to fly in the dark cockpit, I hope to be like a meme for business, for personal lives, for persons that are flying their own careers or families through success.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Once again, I'm going to point people to the book on Amazon for 99 cents or pick up the paperback. Again, worldwide, as part of this worldwide launch, we have people all around the world participating in this. We're grateful for it. So thank you once again. Thank you for joining our live cast and podcast here today. This is Everett O'Keefe from Ignite Press signing out.